We're in Mark chapter 4 this morning. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. Jesus Christ has been ministering extensively, quite extensively. He has been ministering to the point where that he has just about exhausted himself physically. And we get to verse number 35, and it says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over on the other side." Now, he had just finished teaching, primarily through parables. And now he wants to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and minister over there, because there was a task that God had for him on the other side. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Our Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for this story from the life of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that this morning, as we look at this incident on the Sea of Galilee, and the things that led up to it, Lord, may we glean from this truths that will impact our lives. And Lord, we pray that we will truly learn the answer to the questions within our own heart and mind about why are we so fearful and why have we no faith. Lord, we ask that you would teach us what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Back to verse number 35, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over onto the other side." Now, let's go into this passage understanding that it was God's will that they go into this storm. Jesus sent them into the storm. Now, let's also understand that Jesus had an end goal in sight. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." You see, Jesus had a goal. He wanted to be on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were on this side now, and he saw where he needed to go, and he said, "That's where we're going. Let's get in the boat and go." So he sent them into the storm. It was his will to be there. He knew that that's where the Father wanted him to be. He knew that God had a job over there for him. And the circumstances between here and there did not matter, because he knew God wanted him there. And so Jesus turned to the apostles and he said, "Let's get to the other side." Now, I want us to understand as we go into this that Jesus Christ has set the example of looking past present circumstances to the end goal. Now, this is a thinker of a message this morning, so I need you to follow along with me and think through this. The principles are not that deep, but I'm going to ask you to think through some things. And so please hang with me here as we work through it. But let's understand that Jesus has set the example of looking past the present circumstances to the end goal. Let's get to the other side. And you say, how do you come to that realization? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, we're told this: "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Now, if we were to go on and continue reading the passage, we would see that the joy that was set before him would be his position at the right hand of the throne of God. And so that is where his eyes were set. And the cross stood in between where Jesus Christ was when he came to this earth and being seated at the right hand of the Father, purchasing your salvation and my salvation. The cross was in between. And the Bible tells us that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus Christ set the example of looking past present circumstances to the end goal that the Father had given him. And you and I should do the same. We're told to look unto Him. We're told to pattern our lives after Him. We're told to follow His example. And so they get in the boat in verse number 35 with the end goal of reaching the other side. In verse number 37, there was a great storm of wind and waves that beat into the ship. And the ship was full of water. And so the storm arose while they were doing God's will. Please understand that. While they were in the middle of God's will, while they knew that they were supposed to be doing what they were doing, they knew that God had a task for Jesus Christ on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They knew that they were right where they needed to be, but the storm arose while they were in the middle of God's will. Can you all see the analogy this morning? Y'all are a little dead this morning. Did those other guys preaching kind of let you calm down a little bit last Sunday? Are y'all with me this morning? Do we see the analogy here? They were in the middle of God's will when the storm arose. But see, the storm served a purpose in the lives of the apostles. And I want us to think about this storm, and I want us to compare it to the things that we struggle with from day to day, or even the bigger things that come along from time to time. As we're doing God's will, and as we are clicking along doing the things that God has given us to do, or if we are not, and then we end up becoming fearful. But let's understand that the storm served a purpose in the lives of the apostles. And just like the difficulties that come along our way, they serve purposes in our lives as God has an end goal in mind, and that's to get us to the other shore, get us on the other side. You see, they did not see the purpose right away. They didn't know. They got on the boat. They know they were headed to the other side. The storm arose. They did not see the purpose of the storm. And you and I may not either. We may be in the middle of a difficulty. We may be looking around, not understanding why God has allowed this to come our way. But even when the purpose is not clear, please do not get distracted by the waves and forget that God is in control and God has a purpose. Now, with that thought in mind, look back with me to verse 26 of this chapter. Mark 4, verse number 26. Now, Jesus is giving parables about the kingdom. But there are applications here that we can make in our lives personally. Look at verse number 26. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Now, the whole purpose of Jesus Christ giving that parable and that analogy of that little grain of corn going into the ground and germinating and dying and producing a stalk is this: you don't understand it. That's what he says in verse number 27. You sleep, you put it in the ground, you sleep, you rise, you do that day in, day out until you see it come up, and you don't know how it grows. It germinates. You know, the interesting thing about seeds is they know which way's up and which way's down. Sometimes they're a little smarter than we are, aren't they? Sometimes I don't know which way up is up and which way's down. We had a science or an elementary teacher several years ago in the ministry that my wife and I were in before we came here, that she would at certain point of the year teach the kids about germination of seeds, and she would give them all kernels of corn. Of course, that was in Indiana because that's all we knew down there was corn, right? But they would take kernels of corn. They'd take a piece of cardboard, put a paper towel on it, soak it with water, put that kernel of corn on that cardboard, wrap it with saran wrap, and put it in a window and let the sun shine on it. And that little kernel of corn had everything it needed to germinate. It had the warmth of the sunshine. It had the moisture. And so it began to do its thing. And after a few days, and some of those elementary kids may have lost their patience because it took a few days for that kernel of corn to germinate. But that kernel of corn, as it germinated, that little new plant would come out and would turn up like it was reaching toward the sun. And every now and then, just to prove a point and just for fun, the teacher would wait until it had grown a couple days and then turn it. And that little plant, now that was growing up, is growing sideways, and it sensed what was going on, and it would turn up. And she would let it grow like that for a couple days and then turn it again. And now it's going sideways, and it would slowly turn and begin going up. And I watched as one of those kernels of corn that she showed me had literally gone around in a spiral because it was simply following the direction that it knew it needed to go. And that was up. We don't understand all of that. God builds within that little kernel of corn everything it needs to produce a plant. And just as you and I may not know the germination process or understand it, but we have faith when we put it in the ground that it will produce a fruit that it's intended to produce. We have some folks in this room that like to garden. And they put seeds in the ground or plants in the ground, and they have faith that a couple months later it's going to produce the fruit that they want it to produce. And it doesn't matter which way that seed is planted in the ground. It always knows which way to go in order to reach the sun. And so it is in life. God will accomplish His will. And we may not understand the purpose of the storm that God brings along our way. But just as sure as that little seed will germinate, God has a reason for allowing us to go through difficult times. The power of the gospel will bring forth fruit all the way until we reach the rapture of the church. That's what this parable is about. But the principle here that applies to us is that God brings things into our lives that He intends to help us produce fruit. And we may not see the end product right away. We may not see the purpose right away, but we must exercise faith that God will use that seed or that storm or that trial to produce fruit in our lives and to get us to the other side. And then we have in verse number 39, Jesus actually calming the storm. These men go to Him and He's asleep on a pillow. And they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" In verse number 39, He arose, He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." Wouldn't you like to see that? We had a storm down in our area, some pretty strong straight line winds that hit us a couple weeks ago. We had a neighbor that two doors down that had some big oak trees in the back, their backyard. Those oak trees, I wouldn't even be able to wrap my arms around. Three of those big oak trees came down in their backyard. And you see the power of that storm. And you can just imagine Jesus Christ coming out on that boat as it's rocking and as the water is filling the boat. And He simply speaks. And I don't even know how in the world that they could even hear His voice in such a powerful storm. But He says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Oh, I would have loved to have seen Jesus do that. I hope one day when we get to heaven, God is willing to do some replay for us and say, "Hey, you want to see this? I'll show you what it looked like." I'd like to see that. Wouldn't you, Earl?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But I want us to understand that Jesus can calm the storm at any time He chooses. If you're going through a storm in your life, you need to know that the storm will last as long as Jesus sees it necessary to accomplish His purpose. When the storm has accomplished its purpose, He brought it to an end. I don't know about you, but that brings comfort to me. Because that means every storm of my life is in the hands of an almighty loving God who has control of every situation. After the storm had passed, there are two key words here that I want us to observe. One word and one phrase. The word peace. Let's remember in Philippians 4:7, the Bible says, and you know what, we better turn there because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Go to Philippians 4:7. Put a marker here because we'll be back in Mark 4. But let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. While we're turning there, I'd like for a man to volunteer to read a verse for me in just a moment. Is there a man that would read a verse for us? Daniel, would you read John 14:27? John 14:27. Is there a man that would read another verse in just a minute? Need a man that would be willing to read. John, would you please take 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1:7. In Philippians chapter 4:7, a very familiar verse to us. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, we understand that there is a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. Peace with God is when our sins are forgiven, when we have salvation, and we have peace with God because Jesus Christ has died in our place and has given us eternal life. But even many Christians, after they acquire peace with God because of the salvation through Jesus Christ, fail to have the peace of God in their life that is given to us in this verse. And it says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't it interesting that in this verse of Scripture, having the peace of God in your life affects both our hearts and our minds. It affects the emotional aspect and it affects the intellectual aspect. And there are times when we have to focus on what we know, regardless of what we feel. And the peace of God is what should rule in our hearts. And that was missing from these apostles as they were in the middle of this storm. And as Jesus Christ was sleeping on a pillow, they're on this boat and it's being filled with water. And regardless of the circumstances that were around them, within their mind, they knew who had sent them into the storm. And there are times when the peace of God just needs to be applied in our lives. But if we're not walking with God, if we're not with Him, if we're not trusting in Him, if we're not exercising faith in His ability to care for us, then you cannot have that peace of God. John 14:27. Daniel, would you read that for us?
"Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."
Peace or afraid? When fear is present, peace is not. And we'll see the cause of fear in just a moment. But not only did he say peace, he also said be still. And there was a great calm. There's a verse of Scripture that comes to my mind when I read that, probably yours too. And that verse is Psalm 46 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still." You know, there are times when we clutter our lives with noise, do we not? There are times when we clutter our lives with noise. But there must be a time in our days, day in and day out, every day of our life, there must be a time to eliminate all the noise and be still before God. Do you have that time? Jesus Christ, in this storm, stood up and said, "Peace. Be still." And there was a great calm. If you will take time to be still, to be with your Lord day in and day out, there will come a calmness in your life that can come from nothing else. Let me ask you this question to get you to think. Where was Jesus during the storm? He was sleeping on the pillow, right? Would you say Jesus was at peace? I would say so. Jesus was at peace. He knew he was in the will of the Father and that he was absolutely safe while he was doing God's will. You see, the key to having this peace is to understand that you are in the hands of a loving, caring Heavenly Father. Peace in the midst of the storm. And then we get to verse number 40. Verse number 40 says, "And he said unto them," I'm sorry, we're in Mark 4 again. Mark 4, verse number 40. "He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" See, we need to understand that God is not the author of fear. There may be times that we do not understand what is going on around us. There may be times when we don't understand why the things are going on that are going on in our lives. There may be times when we are not seeing what God is doing through the storm, but there should never be fear. I tell you, when we started into this COVID thing a few months ago, nobody knew what was going on around us. It was amazing to me to see how the world was responding all around the world, countries responding similarly and shutting down. And you could just see that there was a spiritual power that was behind what was going on that was greater than any human government or human mind as the world responded in almost a uniform fashion. And you just have to shake your head and say, what is going on? Of course, we understand that the spirit of Antichrist is at work. We understand the one world government is coming. We understand the tribulation is coming, the rapture of the church first, all of those things. We do understand those things. We didn't know what was going on around us. We knew God was in control, so there was no reason to fear. There may be uncertainties, but there's no reason to fear. God's not the author of fear. And one of the things that I draw from this verse of Scripture when Jesus asks these questions is this, that fear is an indicator of a lack of faith. Now, it's not my purpose this morning, my goal, or even my job to make accusations. But I am going to tell you, if you do a self-evaluation and you sense fear over what's going on, it is an indication of a lack of faith. 2 Timothy 1, 7, I believe I asked John, would you please?
For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Not the spirit of fear, but the love of power, but the spirit of power. He's given us power of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind in the midst of the storm. You know, we've all had times of uncertainty when you may be going through one right now. But let me also remind you of what it says in 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, who hath saved us? You know what? Again, why don't you just turn there? 2 Timothy 1:9. I'll make up my mind this morning whether I want to read it to you or let you read it yourself. But I want you to see the way this verse is laid out. 2 Timothy 1 in verse number 9, please. It says this. It says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want you to notice the progression. He has saved us. First step, salvation. Called us to a holy calling. Second step, you have a holy calling. Now that you're his child, he has a holy calling for you. His purpose, it's not our works, but his purpose. It is his own purpose that he wants to accomplish in your life. And grace. Do you see that? I told y'all I wanted this sermon's going to be a little bit of a thinker. So here it is. God has given us a progression here. Salvation. Holy calling, his purpose, now you have the grace to accomplish it. You see, once you're saved, you have a purpose, and that purpose is established by God himself. And here is the element that makes it work for us. It is his grace. Christian, please get this morning. This is Mark 4:35, let us pass over onto the other side. The idea is this. Jesus Christ said, I have a purpose for you. You're saved. You have a holy calling. I want to accomplish this in your life. I am giving you the grace whereby you can achieve what I have given you to do. Every storm, every trial serves the purpose of God's holy calling because each storm helps to mold us into the person that God wants us to be. Preached a message a few months ago in which we talked about grace and faith. If you remember, I gave you the definition of grace as being Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's grace. God working through you. God working in you. God accomplishing His pleasure. That is His grace. Why would you fear when you have that? But then He says this, back in Mark 4. He says, how is it that you have no faith? There's no reason to be fearful. You're in the hands of God. So why? Why do you have no faith? You see, without faith, grace, without faith, grace is inaccessible. It is abundant, but it is inaccessible. God has the grace. You need the faith. In the midst of the storm, men, why do you have no faith? I'm the one that told you to go to the other side. I'm in the boat with you. We have a job to do over there. God's not going to take us until we accomplish what He has given us to do. Why do you not have faith in the promise, in the work of God? You see, the grace of God is an ocean depth of abundant ability. It is a well that never runs dry. But our faith is what allows that grace to flow in our lives and through our lives in every storm. Why is it that so many times in Scripture we see the words, through faith this was done? Through faith that was done. It is because that faith is that pipeline through which the grace of God flows in your life and allows you to do things that you would never be able to do on your own. Like have peace in the midst of a storm. Who directed them into the storm? Jesus did. Who said, let us pass over to the other side? Jesus did. Complete faith in Jesus does not make the storm go away. Please understand that. In fact, sometimes He leads us into those storms, but He does it for a purpose. Complete faith looks past the storm to the other side, knowing that Jesus is in control. That's what faith does for us. God provides the grace. Our job is faith. Let God handle the outcome of the storm. Let's just have faith. Now, let me explain this a little bit more. This was a time of trial for the apostles' faith. It was a time of trial. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse number 20, please. Mark 3, verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when His friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on Him. It's talking about Jesus. They went out to lay hold on Him, for they said, He is beside Himself. You see, His friends had stated that He was beside Himself. Look at verse number 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. Okay, so here you have the national leadership that had decided that Jesus was possessed of a devil. You have His friends that stating that He's beside Himself. These apostles and Jesus Christ lived with constant attacks on the deity of Jesus Christ. The disciples needed to have an unshakable faith that Jesus Christ is Lord indeed. And so in order to test their faith, God sent them into the storm. You see, what we just read in Mark 3 precedes this incident here. And so we know what was being said about Jesus. We know the attacks on His deity. And there is no doubt that Jesus Christ wanted His disciples to have that unshakable faith that He was who He said that He was. And while others denied Him, His disciples should have trusted Him. You see, we live in a world that denies God, do we not? Do you have the faith to trust Him through all the events of your life? You would like to think that when these men got to the other side, their faith was a little stronger, wouldn't you? When we live in fear, it is evidence that we do not have faith. That God is in control, that Jesus is who He says He is. Therefore, we do not live with His grace. Therefore, the storms overwhelm us. And when we live in disobedience to God's word, we show a lack of faith. I know the Bible says this, but I know I should be doing this, but we show a lack of faith. A lack of faith that God knows what's best. That if He gives us a command or makes us a promise, and we live with our faith in that, that Jesus will do what he said he will do, or that our life will bring honor to him as it should. You see, there's a beauty in all of this for the child of God. From a human perspective, these men were about to perish. In fact, if Jesus had not been there, they very well could have sunk to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, overwhelmed by the waves and the wind of the storm. But here's the thing. Jesus was there. Do you understand? Jesus was there. These men lived through the storm because Jesus was there. This one truth should have grabbed their heart. The heart of every man in that boat, every man who lived to walk on the shore on the other side of the sea, every man that got out of that boat alive should have lived with the realization that they were on the other side through the storm safely because of one reason. Jesus was with them. That's what Jesus wanted them to understand. They had no reason to fear the intensity of the storm, no matter how hard it came, because they were right where God wanted them. They were with Jesus. Do you remember when Peter walked on water? You know, sometimes we get a little hard on Peter because he sank. But let's remember, there's only two men that have ever walked on water. Peter was one of those two. But what caused him to sink? Matthew 14:30 says this: "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" As long as he had his eyes upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus gave him the command to come, and when he stepped out of that boat and he began to walk on that water, the wind and the waves around him, it didn't matter because he had his eyes on Jesus Christ. But at some point in that brief walk, he got distracted and began to look at the wind and the waves around him, and they were boisterous. And then he became afraid. And at that point, when his eyes were off of Jesus, he started to sink. And he cried what I have often called the Peter prayer: "Lord, save me." Now, let me ask you this morning, are your eyes on Jesus, or are they on the boisterous winds around you? Are you in the midst of a storm? Are you in a trial? Are you walking with Jesus? Because if you're walking with Jesus, you have nothing to fear. And let me make it clear, walking with God and having strong faith does not mean that we will not suffer loss. Faith understands that God is in control and will do what is best for His honor. And after all, that is our chief goal, right? We have nothing to fear. We need to honor God with our lives. He's in control. Now go back with me to Mark chapter 3. I want to look at verse number 30. Mark 3, verse number 30. Again, Jesus Christ is teaching through a parable. And there's a dynamic here of a life that is filled with faith. Mark 3, beginning in verse number 30. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark 4, verse 30. Mark 4, verse 30. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Another dynamic about a life that is filled with faith is that God's intent is for it to grow. Again, I understand this parable has to do with the kingdom, that the seed of the gospel will be sown, and that the kingdom will grow until the Lord returns. I understand that. But there is a principle in all of this. And please understand, when we looked at verses 27 and 28 about the ability of the seed to germinate and accomplish its purpose, even though we may not understand it, as much as those verses are teaching that principle, these verses are teaching us about the ability of the seed to start small and to grow very large. And that's what God intends to do with our faith. You see, you must look past the circumstances of the storm and understand that God has a greater purpose. And as you do that, that gives you fruit. And when you do that time and time again, That is when you exercise faith in the midst of trials and you do that over and over again, even when the storm seems to increase and the waves fill the boat and you feel like you're all beat up. When you begin to, through that, exercise faith in Jesus Christ, then that little seed that He starts with in your faith can become a tree. And at that point, others can find rest under the shadow of your faith. Now, here's a dynamic of faith that we don't talk about a whole lot, but here it is. Just as the fowls of the air can draw protection from the branches of a tree, so others around you will draw strength from your faith. Let me just ask a question. You don't need to raise your hand to answer this question, but how many of you have people in your life that you have looked to, and because of the strength of their faith, you were strengthened in your faith? I would dare say every one of us in here. I would dare say every one of us in here have gone through that. That there are individuals that we know we can look to. They're not perfect. We've probably even seen some of their weaknesses and some of their stumbles and some of their falls. But as they get up and they exercise faith in God through the trials, it strengthens our faith. And here's an interesting thing about that. You may not see how it affects others. In fact, you seldom see or even know how your faith affects others. But it does. It does. So God intends for our faith to grow, to access more grace, not to be fearful, but to trust in Him. And then we come to the last verse of chapter 4. It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let me ask you a simple question this morning. If Jesus can calm the storm, can He control the events of your life? Do you live like He can control the events of your life? I trust that you do. Would you bow your head with me this morning?